99.3 County FM is your voice, connecting the county. Seniors and technology, embracing the digital world, is our effort to help people of all ages understand current and upcoming technologies. Learn how to capitalize on tech for you and your family. The following is a County FM exclusive original documentary funded by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.
Welcome to the first episode of County FM series, Seniors and Technology, Embracing the Digital World. Over the next few weeks, we will be exploring technology topics and trends through the eyes of our senior population. In 2025, County FM partnered with the Prince Edward Learning Center, the County of Prince Edward Public Library, and the Prince Edward Community Care for Seniors Association to ask local residents about their relationship with and thoughts about digital technologies. The survey yielded 193 responses from people ranging in age from under 50 to 80 years and older. We also spoke in person with many at the Community Care for Seniors Fair, where we had meaningful conversations about how technology influences and shapes our interactions with and perceptions of others, and the many ways our devices, when we're engaged with them, mediate our daily experience. But let's first talk about relationships and give the idea some context. The definition of a relationship is an ongoing connection or association between two or more entities, characterized by patterns of interaction, interdependence, and some degree of emotional or functional investment. Traditionally, we think of relationships as existing between people via friendships, romantic partnerships, familial bonds. Human-to-human relationships typically involve some level of emotional investment or attachment. But when the paradigm shifts to include the relationship between humans and technology, the notion of technological mediation arises. Technology and how we interact with it influences and shapes our interactions with others. In other words, when we're on our digital devices, these devices moderate our life experience. For many of us, technology has become a near constant companion in our daily lives. It helps us to keep in touch with family and friends, informs our decisions, entertains us, and we'd be hard-pressed at this stage to even imagine how we got along without it. Here's what some of the people we interviewed had to say. David Fox.
I don't know what I'd do without it. I think back to years ago when I was in administration, you had your calendar open on the desk, but then you didn't always carry that with you. So if I meet somebody here right now and they want to have a meeting or invite me out for dinner, I can easily look and find out whether I can do it or not. The other cool thing I do is we travel a fair bit in the wintertime in Europe. So if I go for a walk, I always track it. So it's interesting going back, and you look at the little map that pops up on your phone, and it shows you all the streets you walked on in Paris. Mm-hmm. I find that kind of interesting.
Diane uses technology to stay connected.
I find my phone just being able to FaceTime when you have your children that aren't living in the country, that it is, to me, it's just so heartwarming. It's like, can we FaceTime this day, this time? It's like, melt my heart. Sure we can. It's like back in the day when you look through photos and you get that melt your heart feeling. So for me, it has just bridged that, you'll always worry about your children no matter what age they are.
So technology is enriching your life more than it's inhibiting it.
For me personally, yes, it has.
And Donna Rogers tells us she has a new device and can't wait to try it out.
I won a door prize, which was a watch that's going to be able to tell me how many steps I've taken and give me all kinds of information that I've never had before. And I've wanted one of these for a long time. Now I have a wonderful new technology toy to go home and figure out.
Veju uses technology for almost everything and doesn't much miss the bygone days of analog communication.
Everything is there at your fingertips. It's so easy to look up for things. For example, you wanted to go and visit a place. It's so easy now. You can just go and look up and find out the things you want to know. General knowledge, I guess. And then, of course, for communication. In the olden days when we had to just stick to our dial-up phones and telegrams, and to this day when you have all these kind of information where now I'm in touch with my relatives back in India.
Of course, not everyone we spoke to is tech crazy. One thing everyone seems to agree on is that we don't always have much choice in the matter. Roxanne, for example, is on the fence.
I, of course, have to use my smartphone. I mean, I know people that don't even have a smartphone, and it's very difficult for them. And I guess I resent that about our society, that you can get left behind if you don't like all these devices. I resent that. And yet, it's true. Like, everything is way more difficult if you don't have those things. You find out about a lot less things if you don't connect. But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe some people would prefer that anyway. I don't know. But, I mean, I think for seniors with, you know, the fear of isolation and that sort of thing, it makes it harder if you don't have a smartphone, if you don't have a laptop or a tablet.
Back to Donna, even though she's quite comfortable with tech in general, it feels like a have-to rather than a personal decision.
I would say I have become comfortable over the years because it is not a personal choice, it's a mandatory thing by the community and the culture that I live in. I really don't have a choice. You have to use the internet. You have to use your phone. You have to communicate that way because that's the only way many people in our community communicate.
Many, like Jennifer, who accept the status quo but would prefer personal connections over digital any day.
I like hands-on, in-person. Yeah. I just feel that we're going to lose the personal touch the more and more automated we get, you know. Maybe one day I won't even be able to get to see a doctor. You know, AI can't see the color of your skin or the shape of your tongue or, you know. So I'd rather keep it personal. Yeah, because, I mean, if all the devices turned off tomorrow and we don't have any personal contact with anybody, what happens?
And how much time are seniors spending on their phones? Most will say, too much.
Roughly how much time do you think you spend on an average day using your devices?
Oh, I'm ashamed to say it, probably 6 hours.
Well, I'm not going to say we're attached at the hip, but the string is pretty short. It's with me all the time.
It's in my back pocket, yes. Yeah. It's with too much time. Too much time, yeah.
Well, you get a report on it once a week, so you're conscious of it. Mm-hmm. You try to be careful you're not going overboard because we all know the negative side of being in front of a screen too much.
Another, Donna understands the addictive nature of technology, so she tries to curtail her screen time. She, like many others, have tried to set some boundaries, but it's not always easy.
Well, I'm tempted by some of these apps, but I don't want to be attached to that phone. So I'm really, you know, reluctant to use it. You know, I guess I don't want to get addicted. I just see it in so many people's hands. They come for lunch, it's sitting in front of them on the table. I see people who are out at the beach, they've got their phone in their hand, and I don't want to be one of those people. So, you know, I find a topic, like there's something I've seen in the forest, I want to do some research on it, so it's handy for doing Google searches, that sort of thing. But I do find it to be very addictive, and I sometimes get mad at myself that I'm on a commercial. I'm watching the news, and it's on a commercial, and I'm picking up the iPad. And I go, why? Put that thing down. On the other hand, I say that I'm proud of myself. I've never taken it to bed, so I've never, you know, it's not the last thing I see. I try not to, you know, get on it immediately before I've had coffee even, you know, like I'm trying to restrict myself a little bit, but it is very addictive.
We don't bring the phone to the table, to the dinner table, and if we're talking to one another, we're not looking at the phone because it annoys both of us.
On an average day, well, on the iPhone at 30 minutes, there are some members of this household that go down rabbit holes, and that's not good. I just notice the time I start, and as soon as I notice that it's getting close to the 30 minutes, that's it. Time to move on to something else.
I do leave my phone at home on purpose sometimes.
Yep.
It depends where I'm going, but I consciously think, yeah, I don't need it. I'm not bringing it.
Seniors are far more tech savvy than most give them credit for. They read the news. They are acutely aware of the impact technology has on their lives. And they are alert to the potential dangers lurking behind the screen. Rightly so. Scams perpetrated against seniors have increased 300% since 2020, with more than 5% of capable and aware older adults falling victim to fraud every year. But it's not just the fraudsters that have them looking sideways at their devices. Many have learned that you can't trust what you read online, no matter how authoritative it sounds.
It's like a 50-50. You read and then you try to see whether, I don't know, it's very difficult sometimes. They're so, they look so true-like. And sometimes it can be false information, especially with the new AI technology. You find that you have to be sure that you're on a safe site, first and foremost, to make sure that even that doesn't really tell you that the news you're hearing is right or not. So you sort of try to stick to secure sites where you in your heart believe that they are legitimate.
Yep.
Artificial intelligence came up several times in the discussion about trust.
AI is very interesting. I think it has lots and lots of value. I think where the danger lies in all of this, creating absolutely fake profiles, fake people, fake news, fake everything. So I think all technology has its benefits and its drawbacks, and we have to be good consumers of that and be conscious of that. I hear too many stories of people falling for scams that they should not have fallen for. You know, when somebody's sending a car to your house to pick up $10,000, that should be your clue. But there are people, very intelligent people, falling for this stuff. So you got to be really, really careful with what you click on.
I think it's probably AI or whatever that is in the phone that tells me I've been into something, then it shows me that I was into there. So it's tracking me, sort of. Right. And if I ever have an opportunity to say yes or no to that, I always say no to. I don't want it to track me unless I say it can track me.
I think there's a lot of things that are on the, especially on iPad that come out, that you don't know what to believe because of AI and other things.
Yes, I am worried how technology can monitor. And you can see it if you Google something. For instance, buying a certain jacket appears on the Facebook media feed. So there is an algorithm which connects. You have to be cognizant of. I need to use the incognito mode more than I do.
Roxanne almost fell for one of Dr. Google's diagnoses, but she won't be fooled again.
I have some health issues this year, and when I looked some things up online, it would say one thing, and then I would avoid that thing, and then I would speak to a doctor and find out it was completely not true. And actually, there was a lot of evidence to support that it wasn't true, and yet the internet makes it sound so official that you kind of buy it, you know? So it's made me be more skeptical now when I do my own research on things. Like I always try to find really reputable sources for it, because there's a lot of weird stuff in there.
Many of our interviewees use technology as their go-to whenever they need to figure things out, whether it's needing to know the meaning of a term or learning how to use a feature on our computer. Google always has some insight. Still, the lack of human understanding and empathy can be a problem. Our devices aren't just machines, after all.
Like, I always think it should be simpler than it is, or it takes me down this rabbit hole that I don't know how to get out of, and I still don't have what I wanted in the first place. I've actually thrown my phone onto the floor and cracked it and had to get another one.
One thing is for sure, our relationships with technology require a certain discernment. No matter how well our devices get to know the user and their preferences, they aren't always capable of protecting them from scams and misinformation.
One of the projects I was involved in was a fraud awareness program, which was through 99.3 as well. So that's made me a little sharper and a little more doubtful about things that are being shared with me, whether I should accept it or not. So I tend to share only with people that I know.
I'm often targeted by a scam, but usually I'm aware that I'm being targeted because it doesn't sound right. It doesn't resonate. There's something there that is, hello, friend, or hello, I'd like to talk to you. So if it's a random interaction, say through text or through an email, I'm usually cognizant that it's a scam. To protect a friend, I would suggest becoming aware of the incognito mode for certain searches, to be very, very careful of what you post, and to be cognizant that more often than not, you're a target. whether you want to be or not. Unscrupulous people that want to take advantage of your trustworthiness, your goodwill, which you might not want to be quite as good-willing as you would like, but you have to be cognizant that people want to take advantage of it.
We'll dive a little deeper into misinformation in our next episode, but it's clear that every tech relationship must be tempered with a healthy dose of skepticism. Psychologically, relationships are described as an intimate and evolving partnership that shapes daily lives, influences choices, and defines futures. When we extend the practice beyond human connections, we need to be aware of the ways in which our devices and the information they provide influence our interactions, experiences, and perceptions in the real world. Since the arrival of modern smartphones, technology has become increasingly social, dramatically changing the way we interact with others and how we view the world. Psychologists have applied attachment theory to smartphone use. Findings indicate that adult attachment style and interpersonal patterns generalize to the emotional bond people develop with their mobile devices. This isn't just metaphorical. While attachment to objects was long considered pathological in adulthood, evidence shows that healthy, well-functioning adults report significant emotional attachment to special objects, which can be soothing in times of stress. With smartphones specifically, researchers have proven that people do develop an emotional bond with their devices, an attachment that parallels interpersonal relationships. Really? In other words, the way you relate to people in your life can influence how you relate to your phone and vice versa. So, what does this mean for seniors? The relationship, as it were, can be positive or problematic, healthy or unhealthy. Being able to separate ourselves from our devices without undue anxiety and being able to maintain real-world relationships and activities is healthy. Experiencing anxiety or stress when separated from the phone, being on the device compulsively without purpose, using technology to avoid human interaction is not. Seniors navigating the new technological landscape, the question isn't whether they can have a relationship with their smartphone. The research shows they inevitably will. But the real question is, what kind of relationship will it be, and how will it influence the life we want to live? Today's episode was researched by Bob Cook. Interviews by Bob Cook and Timothy Luganbuhl. Script writing by Astrid Young. Music by John Sharkey. Production by David Wheatley. And assisted by Gage Broderick. Administration, Gillian Carson. Grant writing, Lorraine Wilson. I'm your narrator, Wendy Mesley, and your project coordinator is Craig Mills.
99.3 County FM, your nonprofit, community, volunteer-driven radio station, is proud to provide a platform for the voices of our community. Thank you to our partners who helped create our documentary, Seniors and Technology, Embracing the Digital World, the Prince Edward Learning Center, the County of Prince Edward Public Library, and the Prince Edward County Community Care for Seniors Association, with funding from the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.